Okay, so we have before us a passage of the scripture who speak about a nobleman and nobleman's son. It's a very interesting passage that we can learn a lot of lessons to our life. And in verse 46, we read that Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And he will know that there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So what we have here is a sad situation. A son is very sick. According to verse 47, he was at the point of death. So you imagine what was passing in his parents' mind. You know, I don't know if he was the only son that they had. But I'm thinking about my son. You know, I have a son, and one day he was very sick. And we were so nervous, you know, in despair. Sometimes when we look at our children, we see their sickness. And sometimes we ask, oh, Lord, give me his sickness. You know, because we love them. We don't want that they suffer. We wanted the sickness for us because we love them so much. So we have here not only a son very sick at the point of death, but we also have here his parents also very sad. This man, the father, a nobleman, was worried and in despair with the situation. But in verse 47, the sad situation started to change when this nobleman heard about Jesus. It says here that when he heard that Jesus was coming out of Judea into Galilee. So it was like a light, a wee light in the end of the tunnel, a hope. But it is interesting to note that until then, Jesus had performed, according to verse 54, he had performed just one miracle. Was in Cana of Galilee, where he made water into wine, so that the nobleman had not heard many news about Jesus, what is concerned miracles. For example, Jesus was healing a blind man, or he had raised someone from the dead. He heard nothing about, just that Jesus was a good preacher, and also he saved a wedding. But he had faith. He had faith. And what we learn in the Bible in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we learn that the faith cometh by hearing. So he heard. And after hearing, he had faith. But we may ask ourselves, how do we know that he had faith? No, because faith is something like abstract. You cannot see faith. So how can we say that he had faith? We know because the Bible says here that he went unto Jesus. So for this reason, we know that he had faith. Yes, it was not a perfect faith, but he had faith. You know? And this is so important for us to learn this lesson that we read in the Bible, for example, in James chapter 2 and verse 18, where we read, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So that man had faith. And we can see this through his work. He went unto Jesus. So when he found him, he besought him. The idea here is that he asked Jesus repeatedly, "Come down and heal my son." He asked in this way for his son, as we can see here in verse 47. He was at the point of death. So this is why he asked Jesus repeatedly, "Come down and heal my son." Through this asking, we can see that this faith was in infirmity. Do you know why? Because he limited the power of Jesus in space, in a location. Maybe in his mind, he thought that Jesus is able to heal my son, but Jesus have to be close to him, not far from him. He have to be close to my son in order to heal my son. So come down. Come with me. Come to Capernaum and to heal my son. And we have here an answer from the lips from Jesus in 48. "Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." In other words, Jesus was teaching him that it was necessary to believe in order to see, and not to see in order to believe. Some of us, or most of us, we do in this way. We want to see first in order to believe. Do you remember those under the cross when Jesus was there and they said, "Come die from the cross so that we can believe"? So sometimes we want to see first and then believe. But let me remind you that our names are believers. We are believers. We have to believe first in order to see. And we learned that faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And also in John chapter 20 and verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, unto Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that live in wills." They don't see me, but they believed. So, "Thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And in another passage in James chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible teaches us that those who ask God for something, the Bible teaches us that let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So the Lord Jesus was teaching this man that he must to believe first in order to see. So the nobleman said in verse 49, the man said, Lord, come down before my child dies. Sometimes I think that that man was thinking, oh, Jesus is speaking too much. And my son is at the point of death. I don't have time to wait for all these discussions. Oh, let us stop and speak and let do something. You know, oh, Lord, calm down. We are losing our time here talking. Let us go. Come down with me. You know why? Before my child dies. And he also, we see another thing in his faith. First, we saw that he had limited the power of Jesus to heal someone in his place. He believed that Jesus was able to heal his son, but he had to be in the place close to his son, not in Cana of Galilee, but in Capernaum. And now, in his mind, he thought, yes, Jesus is able to heal my son, but he have to do this before he dies. If he dies, Jesus can do nothing. So we can see the infirmity of his faith. He had faith, but you know, his faith was in infirmity, to limit the power of Jesus in space, in allocation, to limit the power of Jesus in time. You have to remember that until then, Jesus hadn't resurrected anyone. You know, this is the second miracle. He didn't hear that Jesus raised up that daughter from Jairo, or the son of that widow, or Lazarus. No, nothing. Nothing. Just that Jesus made the water wine. Not heal a person. But he had faith and went to Jesus. So after that, Jesus, in verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way. By these words, Jesus meant, I will not go as you want me to go. I will not do the way you want me to do it. And we realize that sometimes this happens to us. Sometimes we are asking God for something, and we want God to do the way that we are asking for, because we think that we know more than God. We want to say what God has to do, and the way that he has to do that particular thing. But we have to remember that when God commanded Noah, Moses, for example, to make the ark or the tabernacle, he not only said to make it, but the way to make it. Do you know why? Because God knows that we are imperfect. And there is just one way to do a perfect thing. It is if we obey the Lord. If we want to do in our way, we will be like Cain. You know, Cain wanted to do the things in his way. I think that my way is better. You know, God said to do in that way, but I will show him that I know better things. My creativity, I will show. But God didn't accept. And he said, if you do in the proper way, I will accept. If not, I will not accept. This is God. He liked to do the things in his way. And we have not to be disappointed the way that he plans to do in our lives. But sometimes we are so disappointed with God because he doesn't do the things the way that we think. We say, no, this is the time, this is the hour. You have to do this now. And when he delay, we are disappointed. We are sad. This must not be. We are his children. We have to obey him. We have to have in our mind that he knows everything. But sometimes we have these things just in theory. We have to put these things in practice. So, with these words, Jesus meant, I will not go as you want me to go, but you go, believing in my words, thy son liveth. Maybe in this very hour he remembered what Jesus had said. Do you remember what Jesus said there in that verse when Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Maybe he was thinking about these words. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I would do different. I will believe in his words. So, we see here that the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him. And again, the question, how do we know that he believed? How do we know that that man believed? He in verse 50, we read that he went his way. So we imagine, it's not an hour or two to reach Capernaum. You know, it's a day journey. So you imagine, put in the shoes or in the place of that nobleman. I came here to take this Jesus to Capernaum, and now he sent me alone with nothing, just his word. And it's a day journey. You know, he will walk with a donkey, we don't know. And then another day he will reach his time. But the Bible says here that he believed. And we know that he believed because he went his way. Through his work, we know that he believed. Sometimes we pray to the Lord and say that we trust in him. Oh Lord, I trust in you. I'm waiting in you, on you. I'm resting thee. But we are worried, in despair. Sometimes we come to the prayer meeting and say, oh Lord, I put all these things in under your feet, under your throne. Take care of these things. I don't want to worry me more about these things. But you know, we continue in your life worry about these things. We are in despair. But we say that, I have put all these things to the Lord. Yes, he is in his hands. But we are not in rest. We don't believe. Remember that who that doubting don't hope to receive anything. It's by our works that we show if we believe or not. Sometimes we see brethren, sisters and brothers saying, I believe in the Lord, but they are in despair, almost in depression. But they say that they believe in God. But through their works, we can see that they don't believe. We read and what Paul said to Titus, that many people that said that profess to know God, they deny through their works. And sometimes we are doing the same. We profess to know God, we profess to trust in Jesus, we profess that our hope is all in Him, but in our daily lives we show that we don't believe, we deny. And you know, everybody, our neighbors, are looking at us. Sometimes, or maybe they may not read their Bibles if they have one, but they read your life. They read my life. You remember when Paul and Silas was in prison? You know, they suffered a lot, and they were there midnight. But they were not murmuring, complaining. They were singing, praising the Lord. And the rest of the people there were hearing. And that man was converted because of their testimony. So this man believed, and he went his way. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour," this is more or less 1 o'clock p.m., "the fever left him." Verse 53, "So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, 'Thy son liveth,' and himself believed, and his whole house." Here we can see that there is power in the word of the Lord. He said, "There will be light," and there was light. He said, "Thy son liveth," and he lived. Here we read again that this man believed. It's interesting that this believing is different from the first one in verse 50, because there said that he believed, but he is a different believing. There he believed in the words of Jesus about the healing of his son, but now he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. After he had believed unto him, he became a witness in his house, and then his whole family was saved. What a marvelous story we have here, isn't it? A marvelous story. But this happy end started with a sad situation. A son very sick at the point of death. His parents also very sad, worried, and in despair. And we know in the Bible, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Today, brothers, we may not have Jesus physically among us, but you know, we have his word. His word. The same word that he gave to that noble man. The same word. We read that Jesus, and we know more that that nobleman, when we read the story, that nobleman knew not so many things about Jesus, just that he made water into wine. But you know, he had faith, a faith in infirmity, but when he had contact with Jesus, you know, he strengthened in his faith. Today, we have more than that nobleman. We read in our Bible that Jesus held many people, blind people, you know, paralyzed people, and he resurrected many, or at least three, you know, persons. So we have more news, more information than that man. But maybe as that nobleman, we have answered our faith with infirmity. Maybe we limited the power of Jesus. Maybe we say, yes, Jesus can heal, but not in my case. My case is so complicated. No. I think that is not possible for him. But he is the God of the impossible. We have to trust in him. We have to rest in him. Not just by words, by our works. Do you believe in him? Are you resting in him? Are you like David said in Psalm that he sleep and sleep all the night with not worrying about the sad situations around him? We have, brothers, to live a living faith. We have to show to others that we indeed believe in Jesus, and they will see these things in our lives, because they don't read the Bible, but they read your life. They read my life. And my prayer is that the Lord can bless us, can give us grace so that we can share our faith in words and works to those who don't know the Lord, and that many will come to faith, seeing or hearing our words and also seeing our works. May the Lord bless us all.